So Shanda Charon, one of South Africa's foremost divorce lawyers, joins us on the line now. Specializes in custody and matrimonial law. And co-parenting during the lockdown has been an absolute minefield to try and navigate, especially when the regulations seem to be changing on almost a weekly basis. Shanda, good morning and welcome back to 702.
Hey, Nicholas, how are you doing?
Hey, so far so good. I still have to find out which part of my cupboard I'm going to hide my Easter eggs in, but apart from that, good.
The bottom. The bottom's always the best. That's what you find when you're not looking for it.
I'll do my best. Let's hope that that nobody finds them before I do. But serious matters first and foremost. Co-parenting during the lockdown. We spoke at length when I filled in on the Eusebius Makeza show a couple of weeks back. But it hasn't got any easier, and government seems to be somewhat shifting the goalposts.
Yes, I think. Look, I don't blame government at all, Nicholas. This is new, uncharted territory for everybody. I was on speaking on TV a day or two ago, and the thing that all the commentators were saying is the speed with which this has caught up with us. Nicholas, less than a month ago, this was something happening in China. Now we are going into the second week of our lockdown. It's just the speed with which this has caught up with us and indeed with the rest of the world. So, yes, the goalpost has shifted slightly. Government is slightly fumbling around a little bit, but I don't blame them one little bit. They're trying, and I think they've gotten it right now. There was the first regulations came out that said parenting plans should be adhered to. That was March the 26th. And March the 30th, regulations came out that said the travel of children are prohibited. Obviously, those are contradictory, to say the least. But now, on April the 7th, and I'm looking at it right now, the government has said that the movement of children between co-holders, parental responsibilities and rights of a caregiver is prohibited except where arrangements are in place in terms of a court order or a parenting plan. So children are allowed to be moved around. The person who does the moving around now must ideally have that court order with them. And, of course, the house where the child is going to must be clean. And in that, there mustn't be a person suspected of having COVID.
Shanda, this in many ways is relying on the good sense of individuals at a time where you could argue common sense is not in unlimited supply. At the end of the day, it really involves egos being put away and doing things in the best interest of the child. What has been your experience thus far? Have clients been calling you to try and navigate their way through this? Do you know of how many people have approached the courts for clarity?
I think because of people having to approach the court for clarity is what led to government sort of more zeroing in on what the problem actually is and these new relations. People have had to approach the court for clarity. But I think one thing that that I've seen, and was it you and I on a radio show that spoke to a lady where she had actually moved back onto the same property as her ex and put their differences aside for the benefit of their children. So people, I think, have now, everyone's grown up a little bit, it would appear. Yes, there are still some sticking points, and there are some people who find it hard to put wrongs in the past behind them, and you still have a sense of anger. And I don't think having a sense of anger about things that happened in the past is necessarily a bad thing, but I think right now people are sort of seeing, okay, you know, they are starting to focus on what's best for the children. And, you know, what's best for the children is not always what's convenient for you. And if I can just refer to Dr. Martin Strauss, which is somebody, a person who I rely exceptionally heavily on and, professionally and to an extent personally as well. He wrote a piece that came out on the 8th. And I think if I can just quote from that quickly, Nicholas, it said, children of divorced and separated parents have no respite during lockdown from parents with compromised parenting capacity. They may be exposed for weeks to a parent who parents who are unresponsive to their needs, who are rejecting, over-emotional, over-protective, over-controlling, over-stressed, or poor at providing consistent routines and discipline. To reiterate, young children denied contact with a significant attachment figure or an insecurely attachment figure, children at risk of parental alienation, children of parents battling with financial interpersonal and psychological stresses in children who have a parent with diminished parenting capacity. And I think that's the important part. Children who are with a parent with diminished parenting capacity are, in my opinion, at increased psychological risk during lockdown. So the yardstick is still the best interest of the child. And if it's in the best interest of the child, whether there's a court order or not, if it's in the child's best interest to spend some time with the other parent or to go to the other parent, then my personal opinion would be it is permissible.
If you're dealing with a co-parenting crisis in your household, why don't you give us a call now, 011-883-0702. There have been examples of some very, very brave parenting and in all senses of the term, putting the needs of the child before that of your own. But maybe you are battling it out right now for access to your child during this lockdown period and are not being given it by your spouse, your ex, or partner that you're in the throes of a divorce with. Give us a call now, 011-883-0702. Shanda Charon, Johannesburg's leading custody attorney, on the line now. Do you expect these things to change again, Shandu?
No, I don't. I think we're pretty much where they need to be. Maybe a bit of tweaking will be allowed. There may be situations where a child may have to move from a province to a province, but I think we're pretty much where we want to be. When you and I were talking, we were talking about what's needed. The constitutional yardstick, Nicholas, is the best interest of the child. That's number one. And no directive from any minister can override that. Section 28(2) of the Constitution says, in any matter concerning a child, the best interest of the child is paramount. There's nothing higher than that. And when you and I talked last, we agreed that you need that common sense, which is rather uncommon, and a degree of flexibility. And I think these regulations that have come out now are pretty much, I think, as close as we can get. I'm sure there are situations. Look, a one-size-fits-all approach is not going to work here. What is best for a child, the best interest of a child maybe living in Diepsloot is not necessarily the same for a best interest of a child living in Boerkop or the best interest of a child living in Sandton. Each situation will have slight differences. You're not going to get a one-size-approach-fits-all. I don't think it's going to change, or if it does change, it's going to change very little.
Like I said, if you are in the midst of a co-parenting crisis, give us a call, 011-883-0702. Shanda Charon live on the line there. We should imagine that this is going to be tested sooner or later. I can't imagine an instance where this all goes smoothly when you're faced with a co-parenting crisis where the parents just don't agree. Do you foresee this being dragged before court, and then really, I mean, any other questions or loopholes that you see in the current wording of things being sewn up by a judge?
Yes, I think definitely there will always be situations where parents are forced to, where the court is supposed to, will have to adjudicate on a matter and make somebody unhappy. But those situations I foresee is when one parent is not acting in the child's best interest. Let's say, for instance, if I can think of a situation just quickly offhand, which I may be involved in.
But Shandu, it's a difficult one, though, because let's be honest, my man. It's a case of the interests of the child not being respected in the view of one parent, in the view of the other parent in that dysfunctional parenting relationship. They may argue that their actions are more than motivated and reasonable in the eyes of the law. The point I'm trying to get to here is that it all costs money at a time when people's livelihoods are being tested.
Yes, it absolutely is. It's like any Western system, it's how much justice can you afford. But let me tell you now, you can approach the urgent court unrepresented. You can. There is that mechanism, but of course, if you want proper representation, if you approach the court unrepresented and the other side comes with a seasoned attorney, it's going to be a long day at the office for you. But here's the hard part. Here is the hard part in children's matters. And Nicholas, you hit the nail on the head. And why quite often there are not cost orders involved in children's court matters is because both parents believe they're right. And a lot of times they're not acting out of malice. They are acting because they believe they are doing what is in the child's best interest. So the children's court isn't necessarily a court of cost because, and there's a New Zealand judge, Judge Boshier, said it quite they were dealing with a disputed relocation matter where where the mother wanted to go live in Australia with the child and the father was in New Zealand and he was prohibiting it. And the judge, he was attempting to prohibit it, and the judge was saying that it's such a hard decision for him because both parents believe they're doing the right thing. So, yes, you've hit the nail on the head there. It's a difficult matter, especially with both parents. Where a parent is not acting out of malice and frustration, but genuinely because he or she believes they're doing the right thing.
Where does the eyes of the law stand in terms of where a child is at now? And I'm talking about perhaps people that are in the throes of a divorce or a separation. If it's decided between the two parties that the child will go to, for instance, the mother's house for the duration of the lockdown, in spite of a custody battle currently being in place, the amount of time that is spent at the mother's house during the lockdown, will that count against the father in this instance, should custody be fought post the COVID crisis?
No, I don't think so. I think these are unusual times. I think the only thing that will count against anybody in this time is if they behave like an idiot and if there's violence or addiction involved. Then it's going to count against you no matter what time it is, whether it's post-COVID or during the lockdown. These are unusual times. And we are making up the rules as we go along, Nicholas. The yardstick, however, is the best interest of the child. So that is the yardstick. It's the constitutional imperative, and no one can override that. So if parents do what they think is best for the child, it's not going to count against anybody. We are making it up as we go along, Nicholas. The speed with which this has overtaken the world. Look at America. Look at how they're scrambling. Look at Italy. Look at Spain. We are making it up as we go along. Less than a month ago, this was something happening on a distant shore. And now we're almost in the second week of our lockdown. So we're making it up as we go along. But the yardstick remains the constitutional imperative, the best interest of the child. And nothing will be held against anybody. It certainly should not be held against anybody if they were acting in the child's best interest and not out of vindictiveness or malice.
All right, talking about co-parenting during the lockdown, Shezen Centurion, you've got a question for Shandu.
Hi, yes, I have a question. I've been divorced for about 7-8 years, and I've lost my court order that my son can go to my ex. I really want him to be able to. We have a very good relationship. I wanted to know what I can do because my lawyer firm that did it is closed, and I wanted to know, could we go to a police station to get affidavits, or would I have to go to the court, which I'm really dreading, but I really would like this to happen. What do I do now?
Okay, here's what I would do if I was you. I would ask your ex if he has a copy of the order anywhere. If he does, have him screenshot it to you via a WhatsApp. So you've got screenshots of the order. Does he have a copy of the order anywhere?
No, he doesn't. We checked. He also doesn't have it.
Well, the bottom line is then I would then go to your local police station. I would just say, listen here, I just want a quick affidavit. Let's say, be advised, I will be traveling in terms of an order of court. The order of court has been lost, but I will brief an attorney when the lockdown is over to obtain the order for me. And that, in my opinion, would suffice.
Thank you so much. You've just made my day.
Okay, no worries.
Shezen Centurion, anybody else with co-parenting questions? Last chance to get them in to Shando Turan, Johannesburg's leading custody attorney. Before we say goodbye, we'll also be able to hopefully hear from the City of Tshwane Council, and that is following the calls that we've had, a couple of distressed ones, on the shutting down of the Tshwane Council's customer service center when people want to go into the local municipality to be able to make plans for outstanding service accounts.
Online, smartphone, DSTV channel 856, and on 92.7 and 106 FM.
This is 702.
So, Shandu, before we say goodbye, how can people get a hold of you if they're in the midst of a co-parenting crisis? They didn't want to discuss it on air, but they want to reach out to you or other matrimonial experts.
Well, there's two ways to get hold of me. They could contact me, and you always cringe when I do this, Nicholas, but I give up my cell phone on air. It's 8675. That's 082-819-5675. Also, I can be reached on www.divlaw, as in divlaw.co.za.
All right, Chanda, we seem to be getting a call in here quickly regarding the co-parenting during the lockdown. We'll get to that in a moment or so. Lines are open, 011-883-0702. That's 011-883-0702. Let's go to this one here quickly. It is KG. KG, good morning.
It's KB. How's it?
Oh, KB. Sorry, apologies.
No problem, man. So I'm currently in a situation where I know you guys are speaking mostly about the lockdown. However, my situation is beyond that. Me and my child's mother have been separated for 4 years now. And for the last 12 months, I don't know where they are. She's abducted the child and she disappeared. I don't know how to get a hold of them. The family is not willing to help me. And I'm currently in a really desperate situation to get my daughter back. I'm even, consulting various attorneys, but I just thought maybe your guest will help me much better because he's an expert in that field.
Okay, Kerry, difficult situation, but not an uncommon situation. Firstly, if you were to come and consult with me, we would find out where that person is. And there's various ways to do that, but we'd use a tracing firm. If she has a bank account or if she has any kind of credit card or any sort of economic activity within this country, it is possible to trace it. So number one, but we'll need her address. Secondly, we'll go to court and we'll go to the children's court. We'll fill in a form two. We'll set out your situation and we'll haul her to court.
Yeah, I actually did that. I did take her to the children's court, and then the matter was moved because she had moved to Pretoria, and I took her to the Randburg children's court. So
yes,
due to jurisdiction, they said it has to go to Pretoria. But immediately after that, she disappeared. So I don't even know her current phone number. She changed the number. I don't know where she lives. I don't know where the child goes to school. There is a bank account I deposit money in every month, just like I used to. But I just don't have the capacity or the resources or the kind of help I would require to take this matter forward.
Look, you can instruct a tracing agent, and they're not expensive. They are less than R1,000, and you usually pay them on success. You have no fee, no success. And they can find her. They can do. You can also go, if you have an ID number, you can go do a CIPO search on her.
Mm.
So there are ways. We have a private investigator on staff at our firm that we use. And they'll find them pretty quickly.
Okay, KB, thank you very much for that phone call there. Let's try and get to Taya in Florida Park. Good morning.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you?
Very well. Go ahead, Taya.
Man, I just want to stress to parents to please put their children first. I've been divorced since 2013. We've got co-parenting. I started out with a lawyer and ended up at FAMSA, which I can advise to all parents. Not perfect, but it does work. But if you love your children, put them first. My son, who's now 14, has handled the divorce relatively well, the separation. My daughter, who's 16, really took a lot of damage. She stayed with her mom within one week, for the first year and a little bit, and then she stayed with me for the last 4.5 years, and my son joined sort of 3 months down the line. He joined as well. So I've looked after both kids. But if I can just say to the parents, please, put your children first. Put your own ego, your own, whatever your manipulation and nonsense that's going on, friends and family and so-called experts that are telling you what to do, put it aside and put your kids first, for goodness sakes. And it causes so much damage. The kids are the one that get hurt, not the parents. Please.
Taya, thank you so much. Thank you for that heartfelt call.
I can absolutely echo what Ty is saying. It's if I can say anything, it would be amen. I couldn't have said it better. And that should be the advice of any expert, the advice he's given just now.
All right, Shandu, let's move on to Jenny in Alberton there. Jenny?
Hi, Jenny.
Jenny, are you with us?
Hi. I am, yes. Hi.
Please go ahead, Jenny.
Okay, my brother has a situation. Him and the mother of his child were never married, and they just have a verbal visitation rights agreement. Now with the lockdown being extended, his son is with his mother, and we just wanted to find out whether there is any chance, if they perhaps both went and did an affidavit to say that his son could go to him, would that be possible? Would you advise that?
Jenny, I would absolutely advise that. Whether they're married or not, it matters not. It obviously helps if there is a parenting plan, but if there isn't, the same yardstick still apply, the best interest of the child. Would it be in the child's best interest to spend some time with the other parent? If the answer is yes, then go to the police station, do a quick affidavit that said, listen here, this is the situation, and the child is coming to us, to the other parent from this date to that date, when it will be returned. Then you've got the affidavit that can deal with the incoming travel and the outgoing travel.
Okay, great. And you would suggest that they both do that, get an affidavit?
I would suggest that they both meet at the police station at the same time and do the changeover right there.
Okay. All right. Great. Perfect. Thank you so much for your help.
At the police station. Okay. You're welcome.
Yes. Okay. Great. Thanks a lot.
Jenny in Alberton, thank you very much for that. Just to reiterate, everything that we have been speaking about, Shandu, it's got to be within the best interests of the child. And we should hope that during these very, very difficult times, people try and put their own personal ish to the side and just try and use common sense.
Yes, common sense, which is rather uncommon, as you and I agree, would be good, a degree of flexibility. And this is now not the time to settle past wrongs or grievances. This is not the time for settling scores. This is the time to put the best interests of the child first. You should always put the best interests of the child first, but this is in a time of crisis. Now is the time to shine. And if you want to shine, do what's best for your child, not what's convenient for you.
Shandu, always a pleasure chatting to you. One last question from me, though. What happens if one of the parents refused to let a parent with visitation rights see the child? Is that grounds to go to court?
Absolutely, it's grounds to go to court. It's always grounds to go to court if it's been refused. And you can also, in terms of Section 35, make criminal charges against the other parent.
Shandu, always an illuminating conversation when we chat to one of Johannesburg's leading custody attorneys on the line there.